greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him. Oh, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. My voice and pour it out. Let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. Body, build it up. May it be a broken offering of love. I have nothing, I have nothing without you. Them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. I have nothing, I have nothing without you. And take my voice and pour. Songs. of tune. And all my soul needs is all your love to cover me so all the world will see that I have nothing. Take my body and build it up. May it be a broken offering of love. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you.
That was absolutely beautiful. I enjoyed that thoroughly. And the musicians just went, got in there so good. Y'all do good. Give the Lord a clap of praise for that. Amen. Sister Rachel and Sister Monica, y'all did good. They were like, Sister Monica's like, yeah, really? It sounds good. I said, yeah, when they were practicing. It sounded really good. Amen. Sister Trudy, I believe she has one. Praise the Lord. Hey, Chloe. Chloe and Zoe are coming up.
There's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a thirst in me to know you more. Lord, make me a vessel. Let your fire consume my soul. There's a deep calling the deep. There's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a thirst in you more. Lord, make me a vessel. Let your fire consume my soul. There's a deep calling the deep inside of me. Lies a throne wherein lives the real me inside of me. I may be full of mistakes, masked in churchianity. Lord, remove me from religion so I know you better. There's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a thirst in me to know you more. Lord, make me a vessel. Let your fire consume my soul. And there's a deep calling the deep. Though the battle rages in my mind, temptations blow me down, there's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a deep calling the deep. Though the battle rages in my mind, temptations pull me down, there's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a deep calling the deep. There's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a thirst in me to know you more. Lord, make me a vessel. Let your fire consume my soul. There's a deep calling the deep. There's a deep in me calling the deep. There's a thirst in me to know you more. Lord, make me a vessel. Let your fire consume my soul. There's a deep calling the deep. There's a deep calling the deep.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good job. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Chloe. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. Zoe, you did a good job there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just take up our offering. Amen. As they take up the offering, let's just sing this last song, and we're going to really have Brother Wade come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, get ready to call for the offering. Everybody starts looking down. Brother Bob, come help us, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Key of F, God is so good. Amen. Brother Wade gets ready to come out.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to
sing it again. God is so good.
Oh, God is so good. Our God is so good. Oh, God. Oh, good. He's so good to me.
Sing it like this.
Yes, I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me.
God
is so good. Our God is so good.
Been good to you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. God is so good. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Smiling faces. Going places. Remember Wednesday night, Brother Luis will be bringing a message to us. And then Sunday, Brother Richard Douglas will be with you. And he's bringing his little sweet wife, Regina, with him. So we appreciate them coming. I'll be at Brother Richard Heights that Sunday, and then I'll be heading up to Illinois for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to go hunting. I think it's Columbus Day on Monday, so we're off at the post office. So, and then I'll be back Wednesday. And then now next Sunday we'll have Sunday school. And also you don't have to, it's not mandatory to wear a mask if you feel like you should, then that's okay. Also, the Bethel camp will be the 28th through the 31st. I think we've pretty much already, June has got all the t-shirts ordered. The order's in, they're on the way for all the youth. And then I think we're getting pretty much together who's taking who and what's taking what. See Anna and Richard about that. And also remember for a future event on 11-14, that's 11-14, not this coming, not 10-14. We'll be having our church Thanksgiving dinner. We're in service and a meal. We'll get that all together as we get closer to the time. And also, we will not have church on Wednesday before the day before Thanksgiving. It will be on Tuesday. So just keep that in your prayers. Let's go in to the Bible. There's John 1. This morning, we set a little stage and talked more of the Son of God, but we want to continue on that because the Son of Man kind of shows itself in forms in the Old Testament. And we'll talk about it a little bit in Melchizedek. It will be in the Captain of the Host and the different ways he appears. But that was not the Son of Man, because the Son of Man is a virgin-born God. that comes to the earth for the purpose of redemption. Okay, Melchizedek didn't redeem Abraham. He brought him a message, and he prefigured or showed that he would come in human flesh in the end time. All right, because the Son of Man came 2,000 years ago, but he's also promised to come now. So this is the time of the Son of Man. Amen. This is the time that the Son of Man is to be revealed according to the Bible. Not in any other age, ever in any other age. He was the Son of God. He built his church on that, as we were talking about this morning. He built his church on the revelation of the Son of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in the souls of the believers. All right. So John 1, 1. Let's bow our heads. Remember all the ones that are sick and ones that are Brother Howell and the different ones, Lord, Brother Dean. Let's remember those, Lord, that are getting older. And age doesn't mean anything to God. My mind goes to that, well, they're just old. Well, they're just old. Well, you know what? Brother Bill Dow was 92 years old, and Brother Branham, he was healed of whatever it was he had, and Brother Branham said, I'll shake your hand again. Amen. So at 92 years old, God still delivers. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this day has been set aside, Lord, to worship you. Now, Father, I pray that you would come among us in a special way. May the worship be about you and for you, Lord, not just a mere mortal man, but, Father, you were God in human flesh. And now you are showing yourself now as God in human flesh in a bride. Now, I pray, Lord, that we would get a revelation of that our eyes will be opened, and that we will be enlightened to this revelation that you wanted to live with us in human flesh from the beginning of time. And now you're able to do that through the redemptive plan, Lord, that we've been talking about for months. Lord, the rite of redemption. You came and became human flesh to buy us back. Father, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the healing of the body. Thank you for the healing of our mind, Lord. We pray that you just touch each one, Lord, that's not here. And the ones that are here in the building, Father, we pray that you would just sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Give us a good day in you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So there's that Logos, the Creator, the Word, that we were talking about this morning. There He is, right there. He stood, wherever He stood, He was standing on faith. It doesn't matter if there was nothing created, He was standing somewhere, because He's a man. All right? He wasn't just floating around like a fog or a cloud. No, He was a man. He was standing in one place. His intelligence was saying, let there be. His intelligence, His mind, have the mind of Christ is what the Bible tells us. He was the Creator. He was standing and He was looking at His plan, and He was creating by the spoken word of God. Amen. And that's what I believe, that He's standing in the end time trying to do the same thing. Amen. In Him was life. No, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's nothing new under the sun. Everything was made there in Genesis, the seed chapter of the Bible. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So there's no other life besides Jesus Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Remember, the Bible says in the day that the Son of Man is to be revealed. That was not 2,000 years ago. No one knew who he was in his fullness. No one. Even on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. The Son of God revelation, which was the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, came and went into the believers. And they still didn't have a complete revelation because the headstone hadn't come yet. The headstone had been taken away. The headstone left when he ascended up. But now he said he was going to come back the way he ascended, right? He's going to come back the way he ascended in a cloud. That's why they hate that cloud so much, because they don't want God to be back here the way they want him back here. Right? They want to do away with that cloud thing. They don't want to have him to do with that. Well, the Bible says he'll come back in a cloud because he took off in a cloud. All right? He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Because see, you have to start son of God. You can't start son of man. You can't. You have to be born again, sons and daughters of God, and then you grow into adoption, you grow into the headstone, which is the Son of Man. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, Nicodemus. Okay? You must be born again. Nicodemus said, oh, gotta go get back into flesh or blood and all of my mama and get it. No. Nor of the will of man. In other words, there had to be a conception here on earth, Nicodemus was saying. No, Jesus said, no. The Word was then made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You be seated, and the Lord add His blessing for the reading of the Word. We'll just kind of go through a little bit this morning. Let's go to Genesis 3:15. Because before this, before the fall, God would walk in the cool of the day with Adam and talk to him face to face. And Eve there with them, and they had no problems, there was no enmity, there was no division. God was happy to walk down there in the cool of the day and talk to His creation. There was no fear, there was no condemnation. That sound familiar? There's therefore now no condemnation. See what we're heading back to. It was what that was before. We're heading back to that. There's therefore now no condemnation. Well, there was no condemnation when Adam and Eve, before the fall, walked in the Garden of Eden, talked to God face to face. And Brother Brown said, he'd say, hey, how y'all been doing today? How's my children? And then what would he do? He said he would lay them down on some pine needles or something, and he would put them to sleep. He said, okay, enjoy your rest. I'll be back in the morning. Man, that's bliss. But that's what we're getting back to. We'll be able to talk face to face with Him and not have any fear. Amen? All right, so now Genesis 3:15, though, is where Adam right before this says, I was afraid. Because something had happened that he knew there was a problem. He knew that he wasn't supposed to be that, get caught in that situation, but he did. By Eve telling him and him partaking of what she gave him. So God is here saying, okay, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman. See, right here is the promise that He's going to bring it all back. But also in this promise is that I'm going to have to drive you out. Because here's the place that you're supposed to be at, and you have fell from that, and you can't get back to that by yourself. See, that was Adam's problem. Adam was a son of God. Adam had complete control of the earth, but he wasn't the Savior. He had no saving quality. That was not one of his attributes. That's why he thought that he could take Eve and cover her, and then they could just go right back. But see, he couldn't save her. He went out himself, the prophet said. He had to get out of the garden. Amen. He had to go with Eve because his attribute was not Savior or healer or any of those attributes. That was for God alone. That was for Jehovah or Elohim or whoever you want to call whatever his name was then. We know his name was Jesus Christ, but he had attributes. The different attributes there was Father. And he couldn't be, and there is no way that Adam, you see, there's several quotes where Brother Brown says, there's certain doctrines in the message that said Adam's natural seed is what saved Eve, but I can't see that. That's what killed her. Adam's natural seed killed her. If Adam would have just said, hey, I don't want that anymore. Give me another one, God, and I'll start speaking the word and she'll start having these children. Spoken word. But remember, being that she was so much a part of him, she couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. Cause she was him. Same way with Jesus Christ. He could not go to Calvary. He could not save us. Because we were part of Him before the foundation of the world. When He spoke and said, that's why Genesis 1:26, you just keep pulling the onion peel back. When he spoke that, He had to die. Yes. When He spoke that Genesis 1:26 man and said that, you know, that's an eternal person, but I'm going to have to die to get them back. Amen. He proclaimed death on Himself. But He was happy, but He was happy to do that. He knew that. Listen, the Genesis 1:26, man didn't fall. But humanity fell. Even with the Genesis 1:26, man, inside of you, you're still in a fallen condition. We've not been fully restored back. That's why the Son of Man came, because he was fully restored. When he walked out of that grave, he was fully restored. The end of his redemption was his body becoming glorified. We talked about that in the plan of redemption, or the eternal plan of redemption. That's the part that wasn't eternal. He had to go through the process of death to receive eternal redemption and then turn around and give it to me and you. So I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. See, he's separating. And you shall bruise his head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Saying, telling us that I'm going to have to separate. I'm going to have to drive you out of the Garden of Eden, but I'm not going to forget you. I already have the plan in place. Remember, God didn't have to develop a plan. He already had the plan in place, because if he didn't have the plan in place, number one, he wasn't God, because he didn't know all things. And number two, he'd had to kill Adam as soon as they did what they did. Because Adam was the problem. Remember, he wasn't deceived, she was. And the Bible doesn't say in Eve all die, it says in Adam all die. Amen? So what he did killed us in flesh. But it didn't kill that Genesis 1:26 man. But as soon as God spoke that Genesis 1:26 man and said, let us make man our own image, and when the fall happened, he knew he was going to have to die to redeem that. Because listen, God can't redeem, I can't say can't. God's not going to redeem anything outside of Genesis 1:26 man. Except at the white throne judgment. You understand what I mean? That's not children. That Genesis 1:26 man is not Abraham. It's not Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, John the Baptist is not included in that Genesis 1:26 man. That is only God's children who have his own life by a redemptive act of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that takes your own nature and kills your own nature, does away with your first birth, and gives you a new birth. That's why it's called new. Amen. What a plan. But that Genesis 1:26 man, that's the only one's considered in redemption. Even though it's connected to you, you're still in a fallen condition. But that soul inside of you is just as eternal as when he spoke in Genesis 1:26. That's what we got to realize. It's already inside of us. It's not coming. It's here. The coming of the Son of Man. The coming of the Son of Man is here. It's God in human flesh. Aren't you sitting here today, God in human flesh? I believe it too, brother. But what are we doing about it? If Jesus had to grow in grace and knowledge, so do we. Amen? And we'll read that later on, but not today. All right? Because we're not going to get too far. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 says, the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet. We're going to talk about Moses in a minute. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Look at that capital P. That's not going to be any prophet. That's not a major prophet or a minor prophet. That is the prophet. That's Christ. That's the prophet. But now what? Look. But then he connects it and he says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. If he stopped right there, he could have come a spirit. Because he could have been different than Moses. But remember, God only works by his word. He continued on and said, of thy brethren. Boom. Brought it down here to earth. Like unto me. Boom. Definitely Moses is a human being. Jochebed and whoever the two was definitely had Moses, so he was an immaculate conception. Right? He was a human mortal man that was actually a murderer at one time. Amen? So he brought it to this, and then he's condescending of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. All right, so that's the promise of what? Promise of the coming of the Son of Man. The promise of God being in human flesh, coming to the earth, fulfilling the rite of redemption. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Because Boaz had to be a near kinsman. He had to be human flesh. He had to even be born of a woman. And listen, he had to be born connected to the line of Naomi. Naturally. He had to be connected to that line or he couldn't do the act of redemption. So God, there's no way he could stay up in heaven and continue to be the Father and continue to be Spirit and be my Redeemer. He had to come down in my line. He had come down in my line because that's where I fell. I fell in my line. This guy. You fell in your line.
Amen.
Amen? Everybody okay with that? That's where we fell from. But unto him you shall hearken. So there's the promise that God's going to have to come down. Like I said, when he spoke to Genesis 1:26, it just was a snowball. It come into Deuteronomy. Now you're going to have to, God's going to have to come down here. God's going to have to be kinfolks to us. God's going to have to be actually in my line. A human being.
Yes.
Not a cow or a horse or anything like, or even an angel. No, he had to become a human being. Ever wit human being. There was not a part of him that wasn't a human being except for his soul. He grew. He ate. Okay? Same way with me and you. That's why Melchizedek could prefigure that. We'll see it in a minute. But Melchizedek couldn't save you. Even though the Savior was in Melchizedek. Amen? There's the paradox. The Savior was in Melchizedek. He didn't change. He still had that attribute, but he was showing that he could appear in human flesh and speak to to Abraham and give him a promise. And we'll see that in just a few minutes. Because remember, there was two others that went to Sodom. Why didn't God go? Why didn't Abraham go? They didn't go. They stayed. God didn't go to Sodom. I'll read it to you in a minute. The Bible said God went on his way. He went my way. Amen. He came my way. Amen. We'll read that in a minute. Matthew 16 verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, we talked about it this morning, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? All right. What do you think about this? That's what he's saying. What do you think about this? What are people saying about me? What are people saying about me? Well, somebody says, well, you're John the Baptist resurrected. All right. Some say you're Elijah because Elijah's got to come compared to the Messiah. And Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So he's going to build his church on the revelation of the Son of God. We talked about that this morning. We've been talking about it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Peter's got a key. Well, he's going to use it here in a little while. We don't get to it today. We'll get to it later. That's when the Son of God came down into this dimension and went into the believers when Peter said, this is that. This is that. That key turned. And we always talk about the key turning when he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is fine. But when Peter stood up and said, this is that.
Amen.
The key turn. And whatever that was, it had come to Peter.
Amen.
That's what me and you got to do with the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, that's what's got to come to you. Because you hold the key. You have the key inside of you. You don't need a natural key to get in the kingdom of God. I thought it was by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'd be real easy to have a natural key if you could find one. That's too easy. No. The key is in the Bible. The key is getting in the Word of God. But upon this rock I'll build my church. And like I said before, what did they build it on? Like I said, you've got to take Joel. Because remember, that's what Peter said. This is that which said the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Anoint. In other words, at that time, Listen to me. At that time, Peter said, with the key, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That key turned. Anybody in the world could receive the Holy Ghost. Before that, they couldn't. It was locked up. But now, anybody can get it. So now even the people that just have an anointing can be anointed with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, but be raw inside. Everybody understand that? How many times it took a prophet to tell us, anointed ones at the end time, that they're anointed by the true Joel baptism, Joel 2. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Old men will see dream, or dream dreams, young men, you know, see visions, you'll see all that. But when you lay it out just in a blanket, everybody can receive the Holy Ghost now. Now God knows who will and who won't. But we don't. See, remember they asked Brother Brown, said, well, Brother Brown, if predestination is the way you say it is, why are you preaching? God's just going to save them anyway. They got this seed. Anyway, he said, I preach, God brings them in. Right? I just keep preaching, and God's the one, because remember, what is it? Paul says, I preach, or somebody waters, and somebody gets the increase. God gets the increase. Amen? So that's what you got to do. You got to preach believing. I preach today believing there's not one person in this building that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. That's the way I have to preach. Now, what's God got to do? He's got to deal with you. Remember, the preacher just gets the scale off of your eyes so that God can talk to you. This Holy Ghost person can talk to you. This I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh can talk to you. And listen, he will talk to every person in this world, because see, that's going to be the condemnation at the day of judgment. He's going to say, I told y'all I'm going to pour out my spirit upon everybody. And you could have received it at any time, and I came to you right here, and you rejected it. It was for everybody. But God only knew, he knew only certain ones was going to get it. But listen, so, now wait a minute. He said, oh, now wait. God couldn't be a righteous judge if he didn't. Let's go back to this judgment thing. That just struck me just now. If he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and then you go to the day of judgment, and God says, well, no, I didn't do it for you. I didn't pour out my spirit on you. See, then that person can just look at God and say, well, then you're a respecter of persons. You can't judge me. But since God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and somewhere the Holy Ghost is going to meet every person that's ever was born in this world. Amen? Amen? Because that's the judgment it's going to be. I gave it to you, and you returned it to me, or you turned it down. Okay? Everybody got that? All right, so that's the God that we serve. That's what God built his church on. Okay? Justification, baby justification, which cuts off your past sin, does nothing for your soul at the moment. Right? Sanctification, in your soul, the unclean spirit goes out of a man. Now, how can an unclean spirit be in there and a clean spirit be in there at the same time? Let's go with the Bible in Luke, I believe it is. It says the unclean spirit goes out of a man. It don't go out of your flesh. It don't go out of your spirit. That's memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. It goes out of your soul. So how can two be in there at the same time? You're almost a two-soul doctrine. You got an evil spirit inside of your soul, and you got God's spirit. If you say you had this seed in you before you, I mean, when you were born. No, the unclean spirit goes out. Walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none, comes back and finds your soul. Swept and garnished. Your soul swept and garnished. Cleaned out. Sanctification cleans you and sets you aside for service. You're not born again at that time anyway. See, that's the problem. You can receive an anointing of the Holy Ghost and think you got the new birth. When your soul is what's going to happen. This guy right here that made you do all them things that you used to do, that made you do all them things, that motivator, comes back into that soul. And he don't bring seven demons that are curse worse and fornicate worse and whatever, you, just whatever list you want to call. It don't, you don't drink seven times worse. He brings a spirit so close to the real. He brings his anointing, which he was the anointed cherub. He brings his anointing back into that soul. And God can anoint you with the Holy Ghost. And you think you got it. And Satan's sitting in there going, you're good. Yeah. Make sure you sit in the message church, okay? Yeah. Just make sure you come in, sit in the message church. You're fine. You're okay. But your soul, Brother Bram said, anointing one's end time, your soul is still as black as soot. Because you've let that unclean spirit come back in you and make you seven times worse than you were before. That's why, folks, if you ever come to a place of sanctification, absolutely do not rest until you know that the good man of the house has entered that in part of you and sealed it up. Not just went in and anointed, but sealed it up. Put it inside there and seal that jar. It can't get out then. Oh, come what may. That doesn't matter to me anymore. All that doesn't matter. All the little frivolous stuff doesn't matter anymore. I'm sealed in. This water cannot get out. Bad example. Stop that. I screwed that on there tight.
Those are bad,
they are. You ain't kidding. They're bad. I thought that would seal that thing. Never mind. Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, let's... Can you erase what I... About 3 minutes back. Let's start all over again. But you're sealed.
Amen.
If you had a true jar. If you had a true jar. I did this in Jamaica when we had a youth camp. And remember, Brother Branham makes the analogy of God walking through the garden, picking up the dirty jar, all right, and says, I'm going to use this. Well, see, I did this. I did the whole thing. I put it in a bunch of dirt, and I picked it up, you know, and I said, okay, this is you. You got all this junk inside of you because there's no seal. You've got all this dirt, all this mud. I mean, I had it in mud. And when I picked that thing up, it was just there's dripping mud everywhere. I said, this is you as a sinner. This is me and you as a sinner. I said, you got anything in the world can get inside. Yeah. All right, so we took it to the next step where I got some really clean water, and I did some dishwashing. I washed dishes. I did some dishwashing. I washed that thing out, cleaned it out, and I said, oh, man, don't that looks good, doesn't it? But still, the unclean spirit can get back in there. All I got to do is drop that jar back into that mud, and guess what? It'll fill right back up with mud. See, that's the unclean spirit. Goes out of a man, walks in dry places, comes back, fills the jar back up with the same mud that he filled it up with, but he's more smart now. He makes you religious. He makes you feel that anointing that he felt. Remember, he was an anointed cherub. He got that anointing from God, and then he perverted it. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's for somebody. Okay? All right? But that anointing that Satan had is so close to when he comes back in, you think, like I said before, here we go. Oh, man. I don't, goodness, I don't smoke no more. Thank the Lord. I don't chew. I don't. Listen, when I got born again, I had already lost those desires. Now, somebody could lose them when you get the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you can't. Listen, you'd be justified, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost within a day or a time. But some of us, it takes a little longer. But I knew the unclean spirit was gone. Okay? Because it had resided there for a long period of time. Amen? All of us? It was happy there. We were happy it was there. It was comfortable. But when it left, oh, it tore out of me like you wouldn't believe. But I knew it wasn't a new birth. I knew because I quit smoking. I mean, I didn't smoke, but I chewed like you wouldn't believe. Chewed tobacco and cursed. That was my two worst things. And I knew that it went away. But I knew by the teaching of that man right there and by the teaching of the prophet's message, I wasn't finished yet. I had just, the battle had just begun. Because them demons are going to want to get back because you know what? I made them uncomfortable. I made them uncomfortable. I said, no, you need to go out. You're not going to make me do that anymore. But see, that's the bait for the devil, though, if you're not taught right, that you say, well, how'd you get born? No, I'm like, how'd you get born again? I quit. No, that's sanctification. That's cleaned and set aside for service. That's holding the jar up. Even God hold the jar up and said, hey, I'm going to drink out of that. But not right now. Not right now. I got some work to do. I may have to sanitize it a little bit more because there might be still a little bit of stuff inside there. There might still be a little bit of you left. Because there was a little bit of me left. But when God says, okay, I'm going to get this clean water, pure as ever, because God's pure. And then I'm going to seal it. Tighten it down. And I'm going to use this thing now. See, that's when it can't get in or out. You know what? When you get sealed by the Holy Ghost, God can't even get out. We don't want him out, but he can't get out. You're sealed until the day of your redemption. Like Brother Brown said, the boxcar. You're sealed. The goods have been sealed until the day of your redemption. What goods? The goods that God put in there, not the devil. Amen? I don't know what. I hope somebody needed that. Okay, because that's not in my notes. But it is good. Because we need it. We need to know. And then when it, listen, even when it is sealed, remember, that means now it's put in service. Not what I said, you know, boy, I'm sealed. God, listen, God does not want that jar to sit on a shelf. He wants what is in that jar to project to the world what's in that jar. Amen. Which is God now. Amen. We projected what the world had in there. Right. Now we're going to project what God put in there. Amen. We can't lose if we seal by the Holy Ghost. You can't lose. Amen? Amen. Alright. So there's the rock that he built his church on. Maybe that's the point I was going to make. That's the rock. The revelation that the Holy Ghost is going to burn you out, clean you up, seal you, and put you in service. All right? So there's what he built his church on. Everybody that's the bride of Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost until this very moment came the same way. Might have took a year, might have took a week, might have took a month. It does not matter. If you're born again, you went through that same process. Yes. And now you're going through that process again. Because you got to remember, when we come to a full revelation, boy, I'm way ahead of myself now, but you got to realize that jar never was in the mud. I'm going to be like Andrew Glover. You got to realize that jar was never in the mud. Because the real you didn't do it. But you had to go through the process because of redemption. Because you came from there to here. But when you go from here to there, it never did it in the first place. That Genesis 1:26 man was always to be put in use. But what happened was, there was a fall. Then God had to redeem by the three processes. He had to redeem you back to where at least your soul is sitting in heavenly places. At least your soul is like that jar where everything's clean. But now remember too, you gotta be careful because I took the jar. In the analogy I was using with the kids, I took the jar though and I socked it back down in that muddy water. But when I pulled it out, it was only dirty on the outside. Because we do have problems. We have memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. We have all these things that we have to deal with because we're still dirt out here. But there's no way, if you seal that thing right, when June pressure cooks those cans of beans and stuff, if that thing seals right, how old green beans we got? 2012? We got green beans that Mama sealed in 2012. And you know what? As long as that seal stays down and it doesn't pop up, pop them babies open and eat them anytime you want to. Because they were sealed right the first time. You get sealed right the first time. You're going to be sealed until the day of your redemption. Ain't going to matter what date it is. Ain't going to matter whatever. It's going to be sealed since 2012. We got green beans that I'd eat today. We might eat them anyway. We might go to the house and eat them anyway. But that's the way God is though. Once he seals you in, he can't get out. Satan can't get in. But you still got problems because you're still going to be in the mud. God's going to what? I die daily, Paul says. Pick it up, clean it off. Clean it off. I make a mistake. God just says, okay, I'll clean you off. But inside of you is never dirty again. Never will be dirty again. That's why that jar will never have to go to judgment. Because what's inside of it's been changed. What's inside of it is now God, not the devil. That's what's going to seal you to the day of your redemption. And carry you all the way through to where one day you're not going in the mud anymore. We're not putting people in the ground anymore. No, no, no. That thing's going to rise and never go down again. Amen? That's redemption. But upon this rock I'll build my church. And that's what he's built it, like I said, on the day of Pentecost until today. The gates of hell are going to be against it, but it will not prevail. Because once he seals you in, like I said, he can't get out. Satan can't get in. All right. So that's what he built his church on. But now he's not finished though, because that jar is made to be drunk from. Or used.
Yes.
To put precious green beans in. Or whatever whatever you really like. But God likes you.
Yes.
Enough to where he put himself in there and don't want to get out. That's why when Jesus, when Jesus come to the River Jordan, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to be in your jar. And that's the same thing he did at your new birth. He said, now I am pleased to dwell in your jar. Because I've sealed you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Burn everything out. Because see, even when we're working with jars for the real canning process, what do you do, Mom? You boil them first. If there's any impurity inside that jar, if you've left it sitting on the counter and a bug gets in it, or a spider or a piece of dust or a piece of lint gets in that jar, see, it messes it all up. So you got to burn it with fire. You got to boil it. And once you boil it and get it all good and sanitized inside, then you put whatever you want in there and it will not do anything but preserve what's in there. Yeah, Mom? Yes. When you pressure cook it. Okay. Well, same with us. You put us in a pressure cooker. Tomorrow's what day? What's tomorrow? For all those of us that have to go to work, it's a pressure cooker. It's already started. But you know what? God knew that though, and he pressurized us for it because you know what? Those cans are made to be pressurized. They're made for that. They're not made to burst. They're made to be pressurized.
Yes.
And they're just thick enough to where they don't burst. And God knows the same thing.
Amen.
He knows what you can take.
Amen.
Letting off the pressure. I don't know where in the world I'm going to go with this. Maybe if we get so far, we'll quit. Then we'll start over again. But let's look at number one. But see, look, one more time. That's what he built all the church on. All church. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, the prophet of God. Every church age has been built on that revelation.
Yes.
That's the Son of God revelation, that Son of God is going to come down, burn you out, put Himself inside of you, and put a seal on it.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to act like Him. Okay? But now as we do that, though, as I said about going further, we got to go further with that to make that jar Him. Make the jar the same material as the Creator. Amen? Because see, we're all separate and we're going to be used and put in service. But what about when you become the one that puts you in? You're going to become Him. That's the Son of Man. Because God wasn't the second person when He became Jesus Christ. Remember? And then in standing at, we're going to get way ahead of here, but when Jesus was standing on earth as the Son of Man, He said, Father, I pray that they be one, like me and you are one. The glass became the same. It's not two glasses. It's not two jars. It's become one jar. All you see is Jesus Christ. All right, so look, first it was God Jehovah. Let's picture now a little drama. We talked about it this morning where God's not this. He's a light, but He's not a light to where that's all He is. Like I said before, if Moses had a revelation, an updated revelation, when he met the burning bush and the burning bush talked to him, he should have saw a man. Because that was a man inside of there talking to him. It was not a botany life bush talking to Moses. That was God. That had something in front of him, fire in front of him, because Moses couldn't see him at that time. Even he told Moses, he said, you can only see the back part of me. Why? Old Testament. Blood of bulls and goats. Blood of calves. Remember, it didn't take away sin, so Moses couldn't see his face. Remember, the Bible says, he says, Moses, you can't see my face lest you die. So he saw the back part. What? A prefigure, Brother Brown said, that was Jesus Christ. Not in human flesh yet, right? That's what he said. That was the theophany. Amen? That's why I said when God takes that Genesis 1:26 man and He imparts or says, let there be, and then He says, let us make man in our own image, make them in our likeness. It wasn't a second person. It was Him made manifest in another form called a bride. Right? Not another jar. Our problem is we see two jars. Because we're human beings. Because we are in a fallen condition. We're just earthbound. And we're listening from heaven. I thought He was here. I thought He was down here. Well, if He's down here, He's not just He's not wood. He's in human flesh again. Me and you. That's what we're getting to with this Son of Man. Because listen, truthfully, if you sit down and analyze it, when Peter and the 120 in the upper room received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that was God in human flesh.
Yes.
But it was called the Son of God. It was a revelation of the Son of God because it only went so far. Everybody got what I'm saying? Because it was God in human flesh. When God ever puts His soul inside of you, that's God in human flesh.
Yes.
Amen? But the revelation was that was the Holy Ghost entered into Peter, James, and John, and they began to build a church. Listen, me and you are not building a church right now. We're at the end of this thing. The church has already been built. We're getting the man back here that started the church. Because we're not to the place to where upon this rock I'll build my church. No, we are back to the place where the man standing there that said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's where he is now.
Right.
See, they didn't have that revelation. The headstone or the head revelation, remember, was taken away. What? It went to heaven. Or it went over another dimension. And this is for the church to build. Upon this rock I'll build my church. So now, there was a Logos that went out of God in the beginning. We don't need to cover that anymore. I think we've covered that enough. Let's go to Genesis 1:26. Let's just read that anyway, because I like reading it anyway. And God said, let us make man our own image, in our image, after our likeness. So if he's inside of you today, What are you supposed to act like? Okay. Think of that yourself. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, the cattle, earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So there's the imparting of God, or the expanding of God. But it didn't make him a second person. It didn't make this part that's expanding a second person. It didn't make it two jars. We made it two jars. Satan sold us a bit of goods and we bought it. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created them. All right, go to the next one. Genesis 3:15. So he's going to put enmity. Now that Genesis 1:26, man cannot come the way he wanted it to come. Okay? Can't come the way he wanted it to come. He wanted it to come spoken word children. He wanted them to be in the Garden of Eden, that there not be any sin, that there not be any sickness, that there not be any... But still, remember, Brother Brown said one time, he said that would be discomplimentary to God because he had these attributes in him. That being God, they have to be displayed. All right, so he had to display these attributes of Savior and Healer. So he had to... The prophet said he knew when he put them in human flesh they were going to fall. But he could not put them in human flesh. Because that's what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to put them in human flesh. Genesis 2:7. But then you see this, and we see the fall, and then this happened. So he had to divide it out again. And then remember, he had to be Jehovah God. Father. Remember, it was God above us, God with us, God in us. All right, we got to keep that straight. God above us. Because remember, sure, God was there with the people, but he couldn't enter the people and use them as bride. So I said, even the great ones like Abraham, different ones, they were under bulls and goats. God couldn't clean their soul up under the blood of bulls and goats. But he covered them for a period of time. Until Christ did come, the great Lamb came and died and eradicated all that. All right? Everybody got that? All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, he couldn't stay in the garden. He had to leave. He had to get out of the presence of God in that condition. All right? Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth. Because, see, they had sinned. They had sinned. Amen. And that sin couldn't stand in front of God. So he had to make a barrier, or the enmity. He had to get them away from him. Knowing he was going to bring them back. But he had to get away because he's still a righteous God. He's not a God that can look at that filth and say, well, that's okay, don't worry about it. No, there had to be a consequence. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to die. You're going to go back to dust. Eve, you're going to start having babies and it's going to hurt. It's going to be sorrowful. You're going to have all these problems. You're going to have your 28 days and you're going to have all, this is the way you're going to have to live because you did what you did. But I'll get you back. Don't worry. I'll redeem you back. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. To keep the way. Now what did Jesus say when he came? I am the way, the truth, and the tree of life. I'm that person that y'all been trying to get to, that you can't get to because of the blood of bulls and goats, because of sin. I've now come to put this thing back together. Amen. I'm the second Adam. I'm not going to fall. I'm going to redeem this thing back because I said I was going to. And I'm going to do it through a prophet. Like unto me, a prophet like unto Moses. Listen, Jesus was not a prophet. He was the prophet. Amen. He was the prophet to come to the earth to put this thing together. So now, let's go to Genesis 6. Oh, can't get anywhere. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and ever we read it this morning. And it repented the Lord that he made man in his earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things. Now look, I forgot this morning. Now look, And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. He didn't say he's going to save Noah. He didn't, did he? He said, now I'm going to kill everybody but this one guy. But Noah, but put your name right there. Because he's going to destroy the rest of this world. And if you take that in Revelations and all the different places, he didn't say, I'm going to destroy the world and save you. He said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm destroying this world with water. I'm going to do away with them. And I repent from even making them. Now, that was not the Genesis 1:26 man. No. That has nothing to do with that. Because we're part of this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Luke 17 verse 26 says, it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Only 8 people were saved out of 7 billion people. How about that? 7 billion people. And then we said this morning, Genesis 7 verse 4, they don't have it up there, said, for 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth. For yet 7 days. So Noah was in the ark for 7 days. So we had seven church ages to try to get this thing right. We're the last. So that's why it says, as in the days of Noah, as it was in that day, it's going to be the same here. We've come to an end. And facing destruction. Facing all humanity dying.
Yes.
Amen? So now, let's skip over. Let's look at Genesis 18. Because this is the first appearing of God in human flesh. In a man called Melchizedek. Now, I know I left the one out to save time that he met him at the slaughter of the kings and gave him communion. Okay, but this is where he made a promise. This is where he made a promise to Abraham. Because he met him as Abram. Same way as God's going to meet you in your journey. But you listen, do you understand more about God now than you did when you was born again? This is yes. Don't even say no. This is yes. If you don't know him yet, you can say no. Because you don't know him yet. But even in your Christian journey, you know more about God. So that's what happened in Abram's journey. He was walking in justification and sanctification. And God met him and gave him communion. And Abram gave him tithes. But he really didn't understand who he was because remember, they just kind of went off the scene. There was nothing really ever said after that. But after he becomes Abraham, after he's walked into his journey and he's 99 years old, still holding on to that promise he was made 25 years ago, God finally meets him face to face in human flesh. Now this, I'll read you this quote in a minute, but Brother Branham tells this story, and who is this Melchizedek? And he says, every son of the faith has got to meet this same situation at the final end. So if you're a son and daughter of God today, you got to meet this. I'm just going to tell you what the prophet said. And the Lord appeared unto him and him, who? Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. Now they all have a place, all right? And when he saw them, he ran to meet them. He was still looking at 3. He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord. Now that meaning is Adonai. Adonai. Go to the next. Said, look, says, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched. See, look, he didn't have a problem. He wasn't scared to meet God in human flesh because he called him my Lord. Brother Brown said he wouldn't have called him that if he didn't know who he was. All right, so he knew that was God in human flesh. He did. He said, my Lord. So he didn't have a problem with giving him some water and washing his feet and rest yourself under the tree. Now let's go to the meaning of this word. It's Adonai, which is close to Adonai. But look what it means. Of men. When he said, my Lord, he was telling that person, I know you're God and I know you're in human flesh. It wasn't a theophany. It was a human flesh person. That theophany was inside of that person, but it's of men or Lord, the title spoken in place of Yahweh in Jewish display of reverence. So Abraham was getting a revelation that there was God in human flesh. And he didn't have a problem with it. He didn't run off and ask his... Anyway. He didn't have to get a quote. Genesis 18, verse 20. Now, we know what happened. We know that he told Abraham, he said, okay, according to the time of life, you're going to have a child. And you're going to have it through Sarah. And you're going to have it, you know, you're going to have it by this time next year, you're going to have a baby in your hands. All right, so that continues on, but then watch what happens here, because we're going to read where this is also coming up in the day of the Son of Man. So watch. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. Now what does he do? He doesn't go down there, he sends two prophets down there. He sends two men down there, right? And they were angels, the prophet said. They weren't human beings. They had human flesh, but they weren't human beings. They were angels, right? And the men turned their faces from thence, what, the two men, and went toward Sodom, but Abram stood yet before the Lord. So the Lord stayed there with Abraham, right? Because we're going to see a situation here in just a minute, all right? So let's continue on. Let me read this real quick, because I want to interject this. And who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham said, God, in this stage, now they don't have it here, but I'm going to read it to you. It's this stage of his creation later formed into flesh, Jesus. From the great beginning, that's where I've been taking you to, Spirit then came down to be the Word bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself, it just spoke out. In Morphe, later he becomes flesh, Jesus. Now when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. All right? He was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Now, what are you? You're an attribute of God. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. You're going to have to meet God in human flesh. And he's going to have to give you a promise of a body change. Because that's what he gave a promise to Abraham. Huh? Their body got changed somewhere after this time right here. After God left communion with Abraham, their body got changed. I don't know if it was the next day or the next month, but I promise you, he said within this year, 12 months, a baby takes 9 months. Something had to happen pretty quick. They were changed pretty quick after this situation. So after we meet Melchizedek, same thing's going to happen. So now look. Genesis 18:33, watch the order. Now look. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, something went to Sodom. Watch. Genesis 19:1, which is the next chapter, next verse. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Same thing Abraham did. Abraham bowed and said, my Lord. Lot said, now behold now my Lords. Two of them. Lukewarm church. Revelation of a Trinity. Abraham didn't have a revelation of the Trinity. Abraham had a revelation that there was only one God. It didn't matter how many were standing around that one man. That man is my Lord. I know that's God in human flesh. These two over here don't know anything about them. Because remember, those two were not to him. Those two were for Sodom. Those two were for the world. Those two were not for the elect. Abraham was the elect. God came to the elect. There came two men, and then he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet." And what's the difference there? He told them to wash their own feet. Abraham said, "Let me wash your feet," when he talked to my Lord. He said, Lot said, "Go wash your own feet. I don't have a revelation of who you are. And ye shall rise up early and go on your way." Now, Abraham didn't want that man to go on his way. He wanted Melchizedek to stay right there, because he even said, he said, "Lord," he said, "if you can find down to 10 people in Sodom," he said, "will you not destroy it?" He said, "Nope, I won't destroy it if I find 10 people." But we know he didn't. He didn't find but a few, and they were lukewarm church believers. They weren't true believers. We'll read that in just a minute. All right. Said, "Behold, my lords." Now, what happened here is we're going to read Luke 17, verse 28, but you're going to see that what happened in Sodom, what was outside of the door of Sodom? Bunch of sinners, perverts. They wanted to take these two angels and get to know them, and that "know" ain't just knowing and shaking hands. That's what the Bible says. Remember, Lot even gave his two daughters up. Said, "You can have my daughters. Don't touch these men. Don't do this." So you got sinners. You got Lot, the lukewarm church that didn't come completely out. God had to get him out. God had to tell him through them two witnesses or two people, Billy Graham or Roberts, whatever you want to say. Because Brother Branham said he smote the blind. Remember, he smote the people's eyes through Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. The nominal church or the lukewarm church. And Brother Ram said, I didn't bring the quote, but he said there was three groups of people. Sinners on the outside, lukewarm Lot on the inside that didn't really want to leave. He kind of liked Sodom. But you noticed Abraham was afar off. He wasn't even close. Amen? And there was the elect, Abraham. God stayed with the elect, and the two witnesses went down to Sodom. Now let's look Luke 17, verse 28. "Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." Sounds like today. "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." So right at the brink of destruction. If you'll read that, I didn't bring it, but if you'll read that situation, Lot wanted to stay. Aaron's shaking his head. He's read it before. Lot wanted to stay. He said, "Hold on a minute." He said, "Let me go talk to my two son-in-laws." I didn't even realize his two daughters were married. I thought they were virgins. No, they were married. They had son. They had two son-in-laws. He went and talked to them, and they didn't want to come out. And the angel finally, the Bible says, they grabbed them and said, "Get out of the city." Lot kind of wanted to stay around a little bit. We don't want to. When God comes to us to get us out of this thing, I'm not going to say, "Hang on a minute." I don't have nothing extra to go get. I want to leave this place. I don't want to be tied to the world. But see, Lot was at lukewarm church that was tied to the world. His revelation was that he was okay right where he was at. Because remember, now listen, the Bible says that it vexed Lot's righteous soul. Brother Ram said he was saved. He wasn't born again. You don't understand by type. But he was a saved, lukewarm church member. But he wasn't bride. The elect was up there on the hill that God had visited. Amen? So we had that same visitation, because it says, "Even thus shall it be in the day." Now look, when the Son of Man is revealed, he was not revealed 2,000 years ago. He was not revealed to Abraham as the Son of Man. Only in this day, by the opening of the seven seals, did we get a revelation of the Son of Man. Not in the years of preparation. Amen? Not in the years of preparation. But right now. When the seven seals is open, we're getting ready to look at, we're right at the door of destruction. We got to make a choice to get in or get out. Quit hanging around. I bet you there was a lot of claw marks on those doors of that Noah, that ark. When he pitched that thing on the outside with tar, there was a bunch of fingernail marks. Because there was always a bunch that hung around the door. Well, I don't know about if Noah's gonna. Nah, come on, it ain't gonna rain. That prophet y'all said he's not. He's not real. He's a deceiver. He's a false prophet. God proved to the world that Noah was the prophet of the day. God shut the door. Because you know what? Noah, being a graceful person, probably wanted to do like Jesus Christ and wanted to save everybody out there in that world. So God finally said, no, I'll do it. So God took his mighty hand and he slammed that door shut and left everybody else because he said, I give you 120 years. Because remember, this same God that shut the door 4,000 years later went and visited them people again. What do you mean, Brother Wade? The Bible tells us he went to hell and preached to the souls that were in prison in the days of Noah. He told those 7 billion people, I'm what Noah was trying to get you to talk to you about 4,000 years ago. He said, but I can't do anything for you now. He said, I'm just down here for a witness. I'm telling you, I'm the one that he preached about. Don't ever let him tell you that. Don't ever let him go to another dimension and tell you I'm the one that brother or that prophet preached about. It's going to happen. There's going to come a time they're going to meet that person they turned down. But even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's look at one more situation and then we'll close right here. Everybody all right? Let's look at Moses. Now look, Moses is the one that said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Amen? He's the one that said that. So there will be a prophet in human flesh come to a generation of people and call them out. Yes. What did Moses do? Moses was sent to a generation of people to call them out. Right? Call them out of Egypt. So Jesus Christ is the same thing. He's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. That prophet's going to come and do the same thing. And you'll hearken to his voice. Or you should. But now look. That was Jehovah. And I'm trying to cut some of this out to save time. That was Jehovah in a tabernacle. They built a tabernacle that was an outer court. Justification. Inner court. Right? Sanctification. There was just a little bit of artificial light, the prophet said, a little bit of shoe bread, right? But then the Holy of Holies, see, that many people could go, many people will get justified. Many people, because there's a lot of area out here. But you go into that next room and the room gets smaller. You can only fit so many people. Only the priest and the high priest could go into that room. Right? But when you go into the third room, one person. One person meets one person. That's where God resides. And the priest, high priest, once a year, went behind that veil and gave blood for the people, the blood of the lamb for the people. And look, they didn't see God the whole time. Sure, they saw his manifestation. Fire, smoke, lights. The whole mountain was on fire. They heard the thunder. They heard the rumbling. But they only listened to Moses. And they didn't listen to Moses very much anyway. Because listen, what did Moses have to do once or twice? I know he did one time. He throwed himself in front of the door of God and said, look, if you're going to kill them, you got to kill me. Because God said, get out of the way. I'm going to wipe this bunch off and I'm going to start all over again. But Moses threw himself, the prophet said, in the breach and became as Christ. Became as Christ. He wasn't Christ. Became as Christ and said, look, you're going to have to come over me to get to them. Wow. You know, that's what Jesus said. Jesus told the Heavenly Father, he said, you're going to have to come over me to get to them. You can't get by me. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life so that I can save them people. That's what Moses said. Moses said, God, if you're going to kill them, you got to kill me. Have we ever thrown ourselves in the breach for that? Have you ever got that desperate for your kids and said, God, you're going to take me. Take me, Lord. Save my kids. But listen, this is what God said about these people that followed the cloud and they followed the fire and they followed. Listen, we were talking the other day. You know, the Bible even tells us that God was so much around these people to when they were born, they wore diapers and they wore onesies. Most of you know what onesies are, right? But that same person, 40 years later, was wearing the same clothes. Not a onesie. What did the Bible say? The Bible said their clothes never got worn. They didn't have to change or make clothes. It grew with the person. Their shoes. I think I did it. Me and Michael were talking about, I mean, Michael's got like a size 15. And so is Andrew Glover. They both wore the same size shoe. I mean, it was four cows worth of shoes out there. Four full cows. But think about it though. Their shoes grew. Their clothes grew. God said, here's you some quail. I mean, here's you some manna. Here's you some quail. I'm going to just like make a stream that runs beside you and all you got to do is reach down and get you some water. I'm going to water 2 million people plus animals every day for 40 years. And they did not like him. They died in the wilderness dead. Jesus said they're everyone eternally separated from God. But this is what he said about them. I want you to put yourself in this place. For thou art a holy people. Now this is Deuteronomy. This is what God is saying as they get ready to enter their journey. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people. Unto himself. Above all people that are on the face of this earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were special. Amen. Or you were more in numbers. That's what it says here. Because you were more in numbers than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hands of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Put yourself in that place. This is what he's done for you. He's took you out. Delivered you out of what? Your bondmen. Whatever bound you. You know, that's what a bondman is. Somebody that binds you. All right? Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God, which keepeth commandment and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow. That's what he said about a group of people that didn't even do what he said. That group of people gave him trouble because they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's to you and you can do that. Amen. You and I can do that. Listen, the right of redemption has been claimed and that's what we'll talk about next time. We'll come to Boaz at the right of redemption. Let's stand to our feet. Boaz had to be in the same line as Naomi or he could not redeem Naomi's property. So Jesus Christ had to become the Son of Man to redeem or to play the part of the rite of redemption. What did Boaz do? He took his feet, took his shoe off. And he held it up and he said, today I redeem. Jesus Christ put both hands out. He said, today I redeem all my property. Satan, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We have all things. Take that promise. I thought that was a real neat promise there. I put that thing and read it again. Deuteronomy there in 7 verse 6. For thou art a holy people. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Listen, that Genesis 1:26 man, he did everything, even died for that group of people. And that's me and you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not by our natural birth, but by a new birth. That's what God did for us. He was going to have, I read it in blasphemous names, Brother Brown said, God's going to have a bride. And he said, I hope I'm part of it. He said, but I'll say again, God is going to have a bride. So listen, God is going to have a group of people that will manifest the Son of Man in the end time. He promised it, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed. Not just show up. Jesus Christ didn't just show up. He came with a plan and a purpose. From his birth to his death, there was a purpose for that man to be here. And now where is that man? In you, by the new birth. Flesh becoming word, word becoming flesh. Let's bow our heads just for a minute. If anybody has a need, we're getting ready to take communion. I know we're going to get into that, but if you have a need, if you'll lift your hand up, I know we all do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that what we've said, Lord, has been pleasing to you. And Lord, that it becomes a reality, not just mere words, Lord, but it become a reality in our hearts and lives. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins as we're getting ready to partake of this communion, Lord. And we're going to read the promises that we get, but we're also going to read the condemnation if we don't get rid of the things that we need to get rid of, Father. We pray, Lord, that you sanctify us for this journey, Lord. Take care of us, lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. Be with us from the front to the back. Sanctify, Lord, the ones that are even not here, Lord, that are listening in, that are sick at home and couldn't get here today. We pray, Lord, that you'd raise them up for your honor and glory and bring them here. Father, we pray that you'd just bless the bride around the world. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sin sick more than anything, Lord. Save their souls, Father. All of our children. We have somebody right now that we can call their name in our mind that we know needs you, Lord. And I pray that you'll minister to that person. And Lord, come to them in the sweetness of the night and say, I want to be your Savior. I died at Calvary to redeem you. Now please just accept me. Father, we pray that you be with our pastor. Keep him safe again, Lord. Continue, Lord. I see the work being done. And Father, we pray that you would just be with, be with the ones, Lord, that are, Lord, we pray many times for the ones that are trying to leave this message and the ones that are already left. We still pray for them, Lord. We still pray for them. We don't count them out because, Lord, you can bring them back. But, Lord, please catch them, Lord, because it's getting close. Father, Lord, give us our daily bread as we read the scripture, Lord. Grant, Lord, our request, Lord, of healing and of salvation for the people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and in the communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And we're just going to take communion and then we'll do foot washing in November. All right.